Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we spend our 90 minutes talking with you about wine. Jessica Bell, founder of and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee, our guest today, and she's going to be with us through the program. But you know what? This is Wisconsin Public Radio's membership drive, and Judith Sears-Poisson also joins me. And as a regular listener to this program, I know you know you're always going to hear something worthwhile. And today, we're asking you to put a value on this program. Your gift, very vital to WPR. It's a big part of what keeps us going. So I hope you'll support this program and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a gift, any amount really, at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And well, Judith, what's our goal?
Well, first, let's say that our goal last hour was 40 pledges, and the Kathleen Dunn Show brought in 79, so thank you for that. Right now, actually, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $6,400, $6,400. So that's our goal, to make sure that this generous match that's offered by a group of donors, including Gene and Joe Silverberg and Charles and Carolyn Mowbray, is met. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So get your pledge doubled right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we get such good guests on WPR because they know you're going to ask great questions and they won't be interrupted by commercials as well. So your support makes that possible. You're the most reliable part of our budget. Thanks in advance for making your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And not only will your pledge be doubled if you pledge during the show today, but you'll be entered in an exciting drawing when you pledge during this drive. I know you've been hearing the promos and Larry talking about the great garden tour of London and the surrounding areas that he is going to be on. You can win a trip for two on that garden trip to London and Southeast England. Find out the details and make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You'll be stuck with me for 9 days, but it'll be fun anyway. I'm telling you. In just a moment, we'll be...
park Larry in a pub somewhere.
Yeah, put me in a pub. We'll be talking with Jessica Bell in just a minute about wine. And discussions like this are possible because of your financial support, to be perfectly honest. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's totally up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long. Please make your pledge in any amount right now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
And when you do, you'll be playing an essential part in funding the programs that you count on every day. So please make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving takes just 2 minutes of your time. Just tell us your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. Consider using your credit card. It saves time, postage, and paper, and puts your money to work right away. But no matter how you choose to give or how much, take those 2 minutes right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match, and we got, what is it,
$6,400?
That's great. It's still in effect, so please give now. You'll be doubling your money at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes that much further.
And don't forget, you'll also be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London and Southeast England happening the first week of July for your pledge of any amount. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks to everybody who has already contributed.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Judith will be back.
I will.
All right. In the meantime, I am really pleased to have Jessica Bell come back to visit us. She's the founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee.
Correct. You got it. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here for the pledge drive.
I tell you, it's really an exciting time around here. It's really a lot of fun.
I want to be entered in the drawing to go on the trip with you. Do you know they actually have good wine over in the UK? They have they're really known for their sparkling wine. So we can be sipping on sparkling wine and going through the gardens.
All you have to do is contribute any amount.
I'm a big fan. I'm going to do it for sure.
And it's a trip for two.
All right.
So you can take your hubby along.
Right.
Or leave him home and take your little one.
Little one, the little two-year-old. Yeah, she's a little terror sometimes, so I don't know if we want that. If we want a peaceful garden adventure. Then.
Well, I tell you, we're this warm weather, and we've already got Dale on from Milwaukee with a question, but this unexpectedly warm early spring, I think I've been out doing a lot of grilling already. What are some wines that you think go well with grilled foods?
Grilled foods. So what I like to endearingly call the patio pounders, meaning you just pound them back on the patio, right? Those. There's so many different wines. And I think what's important first is to figure out what your preferences are. And then along those lines, I've got a lot of recommendations. So let's say you're more of a red wine drinker. There's great red wines that'll go with grilled meats. And one of my favorite places right now are Washington Reds.
Oh.
And the reason for that is they're a little less the road traveled. It's an area that I think some people are just starting to explore. And what's great about them is they have a lot of acid, which is a result of being a cooler climate. And what that gives to a wine is a juiciness. Having some juicy wines that have some great fruit but good acid go down especially well, I think, in the summertime. If you're looking for a white, on the other hand, my favorite is a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc because I call it my low alcohol margarita. Because what you can do is it's got the same zip, the same citrus you might get from a margarita, but you're not, you know, at the 40-50% alcohol level that you might have on a margarita. So that's one of my favorites. But if you've been there and done that with a Marlboro Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand, then if you want to go off the beaten path, I got a couple kind of crazy ones for you. One is Chocolie. Yeah, Chocolie is from the north of Spain. Those are refreshing, crisp, a little minerally and salty, really nice on a cold, on a hot day.
Sort of Chuckalee,
get this,
something
it's
like that?
Chuckalee. Chuckalee.
Oh, my goodness. So I never would have found. I'm glad you spelled it.
Right. It's interesting. They have a language, the Basque language has no known roots to any other language in the world. They're not really, it's not a romance language. It's not a Germanic. They don't know where it came from.
Oh, wow. I should have asked you this to begin with. Your credentials, you have impeccable credentials.
Oh, I just drink a lot. Is that one of my...
Well, you do. You have studied. Tell us where you've studied. And
sure.
You're a master.
Well, I've done a lot of things and in terms of both the theoretically and practical knowledge. I've worked at a winery in Spain, and I have... I was a sommelier in New York at the Modern Restaurant, one of Danny Meyer's top restaurants. And I've started the school. But then on the theory side, I've studied quite a bit with different organizations. So the American Sommelier Association, the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, which is the track to go for a Master's of Wine. I'm at the highest level of the W set, but I'm not yet a Master's of Wine. I don't ever want to mislead people into thinking I am. So those are just a couple, but then I'm accredited by specific regions. So I travel to Burgundy in France and accredited by the actual Burgundy Wine Board, the Provence Wine Board, the Rhone Wine Board, official Spanish wine educator. So lots of different accreditations. Really, I love the process of learning. And with this field, you can really never learn it all.
Yeah.
And that's what's so enticing for me.
Well, Dale in Milwaukee has a question for you. Hi, Dale. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes.
I have another question. Hi. Where are you located in Milwaukee, please?
Milwaukee, well, we actually do quite a number of different things. So do some classes out of physical locations, but what we're really working on right now are doing live online wine tastings so that you can actually do them from the comfort of your own home. We connect you to local retailers so you can have the wine and then watch the free wine tastings. We can keep them free if we do them that way. So we're really trying to offer affordable, accessible, but fun wine education.
Super. I love enjoying wine. And my question was, What's the difference between sweet and dry? Is dry more bitter?
That is a great question, because I think dry is one of the most misused words in terms of wine vernacular. And when you're talking about dry and sweet, what it should mean is the level of sugar. So how much sugar is in the wine? So
probably
90% plus of the wines out there are considered dry, meaning they have little to no sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and what by nature of the experience with wine, people often use dry when there's, like you said, a bitter or drying sensation from the wine. And that what people are trying to say is that it has something called tannin in it. So usually people will describe a red as really dry. What they mean is it's got a bit of tannin, which naturally will just dry out your mouth a little bit more than a wine with low tannin.
Right. That's what I noticed, red.
Right. So it's a great question, because I think it's often misused. And I often tell people there is a language to wine, which is what we try and teach people, because it allows you to go to your retailer, your restaurant, and to communicate in the same language so that you can find good wine, or not even good, find wines that fit your palate and avoid wines that don't.
Yeah. Everybody has a different flavor, taste, right?
You got it. And that's the thing is, like, if your guy or gal at the retail store loves a wine, that doesn't mean you're going to love it. Preference is very different.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dale.
You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can go to my Facebook book page and post there at the Larry Mueller Show. How do you feel confident choosing a bottle in a store or ordering off a wine list? Is there a food you'd like to get a wine pairing suggestion for? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We had a Facebook comment from Debbie, who said Wallersheim's White Riesling is great for winding down the day on the patio.
I think that's a great comment. And we got to give Wollersheim some props. They are just doing fantastic things in the wine world. So I think we were going to talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Well, they were named Winery of the Year in the San Diego International Wine Competition.
Yeah, and it's really quite an accomplishment coming from Wisconsin. And it's the problem with Wisconsin for vine growing or grape growing is that it's just cold. I mean, we all know that. Not today, right? But not this winter, but most winters, it's just usually too cold to produce the higher quality grape varietals that we've come to know, like Chardonnay and Pinot Noir and Cabernet Sauvignon. So they've already got one big challenge. So to really overcome that by understanding their land, their vineyards, and planting things that do well, and then to have such a fantastic winemaking team head by Philippe, they have overcome a lot of, challenges to making really great wine, and my hat goes off to them.
Yeah, lots of gold medals and best of shows. Just absolutely amazing. They're doing a wonderful job. Well, let's take some more calls. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Turning to Joel in Fitchburg. Hi, Joel. Let's get him on here. Hi, Joel. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I have a question. When I'm at the store looking at the many bottles of wine, how can I tell the various differences between them so that I can line those up with my taste?
If you can figure that out, you'll make millions of dollars. Okay, no, it is. It's overwhelming. The American market is really unique in that we do have wines from all over the world, not just our own. And so the diversity is just immense. And what I would recommend doing is, well, there's a couple of things you can do. I would say find a retailer, someone you trust that you can start to build a rapport with, and go back and forth, and they give you a wine, and you tell them what you liked and didn't like about it. Another thing, though, you could do is start to understand what your preferences are through this language I talk about. So, when you try a wine, think of whether you liked it or didn't like it, and then to put labels on what you did and did not like. Things like sweetness. Did you prefer that it was sweet or dry? Fruit. Did you like that it had a lot of fruit or not enough fruit? And then body. Is it a light-bodied wine or a full-bodied wine? You know, and then you can go to a store and say, you know what? I'd really like a light, just a little sweet white wine with a lot of fruit. Well, that has narrowed down the field tremendously, yeah. And they're able to guide you towards a wine. And you know, Joel, what I recommend is just drinking a lot. I mean, I know that sounds, you know, a little crazy, but what I'm trying to say is the more and more you experience and take note of what you experience, I think that may be a big thing is that we often don't think about what we're tasting and whether we like it or don't like it and why. Yeah. So if you want to get better at it, you have to kind of take just a second and think about what you like and don't like about it. And then the process will just get easier and easier from there.
Yeah, it's good points.
So just experience.
Yeah, and I wish I could tell you more, like, oh, you know, but I don't know you and I don't know your preferences, so something that I would recommend to you as a fantastic wine would be something that the person next to you would say, I hate this wine. So, so it's a very personal experience, which makes it difficult sometimes, but finding a good retail store, I think, is a great way to kind of take that intimidation out of it, and education, which is a little plug for myself, but it really does help people be more confident in their purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jessica Bell, founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. Our guest, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You have a question about wine. How confident are you in the wines that you pick? You have a question about a certain area of wines. It may be from France or from California. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. I have a friend who, when he looks for wines, he says he knows nothing about wine. So many of the wine stores will post little postcards that'll have the points, mm-hmm. 90 or 88 or 91 or something, and he just looks for those and finds a high number.
Right, and I think, you know, it's interesting, the points system, there has been a big backlash against them, I think, but I don't think that they're necessarily horrible. It's a starting point. I think it's good, as I always say, is to understand what your preferences are. And then within, there'll still be 10 to 15 wines within your preference. So those numbers might help guide you through that type of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad thing to do. It's just...
What's the argument against it?
There's a bunch of arguments, but one is that the critic has a very specific palate as well. And so, you know, a critic who enjoys really high alcohol, big, fruity red wines is going to have a tendency to score them higher. So, mm-hmm. you know, you might like dry white wines that are high acid. And so that your palates aren't in line. So that's one big argument against it. And then they just have a lot of power. And I think some people think that might not be the best thing for such a diversified market.
Well, let's go. Let's try Kathy in Marshfield. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I have a comment because I made a mistake. And we vacation a lot up in northern Wisconsin, and they have a very nice little winery. And we love their fruit wines, you know, blackberry, cranberry, plum, whatever. And I made the mistake of buying too much and bringing it back home. And then I found out, you know, their shelf life is maybe like 1 year or 2 years. You can't save those fruit wines. So when you go to the store and you see all these wines, what is the shelf life, and how do you know how long they've been on the shelf?
That's a great question, and I think there's a couple of things to think about. One is that how do you know how long they've been on the shelf? Well, most wines, not all, but most wines will have something called a vintage or a year on it, and that will be the year that the grapes were harvested. So it'll start to give you some indication about how old the wine is, and then how long is its shelf life? Well, again, I wish I could give you all just an exact answer, like it's 2.7 years. But the problem is that each wine has their own specific shelf life. Now, I can tell you how to think about it so you can make decisions on your own. I will say that most wines under $20 are going to have are designed to be drunk immediately, meaning within probably 2 years of its release. So now something above that doesn't mean it necessarily has a longer shelf life. Above $20 doesn't have a longer shelf life. But what it needs to age are a couple things. One is flavor. Because as a wine ages, the flavor decreases. So you want to start with high flavor so that 10 years from now, it has still has some flavor. Acid. So think about when you take a bite of a lemon. It's real fresh and pops in your mouth. Again, acid is going to give a wine life in 10 years from now. It's going to give it a pop that you need at a 10-year-old wine. And then for a red, something that helps it age is tannin. So we talk about that tannin. The tannin is what in a red makes your mouth kind of feel dry and like sandpaper-like. Mm-hmm. So if you find a red that has those three things, high flavor, higher acid, and higher tannin, well, it's going to be more likely to be able to age. So now you can try a red wine and make the decision for yourself. But most wines out there really are meant to be drunk in the short term. So, you know, 2, maybe 3 years.
There you go.
What about these people who buy wines, you know, like those Rothschilds, and they're 150 years old? Would you be buying more from a connoisseur or a specialty wine shop rather than the wine shops that we mostly shop at?
Yeah, I would say if you're going to be making more of an investment in your wine, you definitely want to consider where the wines come from, because there are a number of different factors that can really... prevent a wine from aging as it should. So, like exposure to sunlight, lots of movement, incorrect closures can really, but basically, it's introducing oxygen or speeding up the molecules, which speeds up aging. So, if we all just sat really still, we won't age, right? if you're going to be investing a little bit more money, you want to make sure you're going through someone you trust. It can be a local wine store. I would just talk to them about where they got the wine from and make sure it's something that that it's someone you trust, since it is an investment.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, a 100-year-old bottle of wine.
That had the high acid, the high tannin, and the high flavor. It's interesting. So she talked about, you know, Mouton Rothschild comes from Bordeaux, France. And what's the major grape in that wine? It's Cabernet Sauvignon. And what is Cabernet known for? Potentially high flavor, high acid, and high tannin. And so you can start to, when you start to see all these pieces come together, it makes a lot of sense. It doesn't seem so mystical. It really is fairly straightforward, but it's just a lot of info.
Jessica Bell, our guest today here on the Ideas Network, as we talk with her about wine and during our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears Poisson joins us, and we are here to ask you to invest 3 minutes of your time in your own future. Our goal is to ensure that all the programs you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. A contribution of any amount is going to help us do that. So make your gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And we have a big dollar match.
We do. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $6,400 in effect right now, offered by a group of donors, including Jean and Joe Silverberg and Charles and Carolyn Mowbray. Thank you so much to them and all the others. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. You get the idea. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for programs like this one. Get your pledge match dollar-for-dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network, and I think this is a unique radio service in the nation. Your support makes it possible. So please pledge now for the station you rely on and enjoy at WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
Think of it this way. When you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step that began a wonderful journey.
And I want you now to take the next step and become a financial supporter. And that step from listener to supporter, pretty easy.
It is. And you decide how important WPR is to you. You decide how much you want to give, and then you make a pledge. Take that next step right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about the time you spend listening to WPR in the car. Weekdays, you get news and issues. Weekends, you get laughs and music for the most part.
You make great use of your time when you listen in the car. You get where you're going, but you also get information and inspiration. Your life is enriched. Your time is enjoyable every time you get behind the wheel.
Your gift help makes the quality time you spend with us in the car, or frankly, anywhere else for that matter, possible. So go to WPR.org and make a pledge, or phone a pledge at 888-202-2552.
I'm often listening on the bus, personally. Yeah. The easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustaining member. Being a sustainer means that your gift, be it $5 a month, $100 a month, or anything in between, automatically renews every year.
Being a sustainer really is important to us. Public radio saves money and makes your contribution go further. So make that switch and make a difference at WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
Larry, we still have our dollar-for-dollar match up to $6,400 still in effect. We have raised $1,075 of that. So there's still over $5,000 left that you can call and get your pledge matched dollar for dollar. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR goes that much further.
And you'll also be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on the garden tour of London and Southeast England with me. That's in July, July 1st through the 9th. And when you enter any amount, your pledge, it goes into the the barrel? I suppose it's a barrel or something
where
they draw the names
out. At least the virtual barrel.
So anyway, give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I love this comment. Catherine from Madison says, my constant companion during exercise, walk, so many wonderful ideas and information on WPR. That's great. So Catherine is burning calories, feeling good, and listening to WPR.
And I bet she donated.
And she donated.
And you can do it too. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or phone us at 888-202-2552. And thanks everybody who's already contributed. We still have a ways to go, though. You can double your pledge.
Over $5,000 left of that dollar-for-dollar match. We don't want to leave that on the table.
$5,000 pledge.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, too.
Take care of it right there.
But smaller donors could probably, you know, just to make sure we get there.
Well, I'm telling you, the trip to England, there's a fair amount of money associated with that trip.
Oh, yeah, and so all you have to do is donate to be entered into the drawing.
Any amount.
And I can guarantee you hanging out with Larry's a whole lot of fun.
I can guarantee we'll have a good time. There's no doubt about that. And we're having a good time today with Jessica Bell, who would be a whole lot of fun. She's going to enter. She's going to donate something.
Oh, yeah, got it.
So she can maybe win the contest. Founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. And great to have her along with us. You can join in with questions at 1-800-642-1234. Caller asked if you spell the refreshing wine that starts with TX. Would you?
Sure, no problem. Let's see if I get it right the second time. No, TXACOLI. It comes in a really green bottle. What's great about this wine is they serve it in the north of Spain, and the bartenders will actually take the bottle up above their head and have it stream into more of a tumbler, and it creates almost a bubble in the wine.
Oh.
So it's so try it. That's part of the fun. Trying that at home. Trying to pour the bottle from over your head into a glass on your other hand. That's good patio antics.
And you also said there's a wine that you could kind of use in margaritas.
Well, I call it my low alcohol margarita. It's a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, and the reason I call it that is it's got the same zip and citrus notes as a margarita. So I mean, I guess you could put it in your margarita, but you might not taste much of it if you put it in the margarita.
But it's called what?
It's a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And the place where they're well known for their production of Sauvignon Blanc is called Marlboro, just like the cigarettes. Marlboro, you can remember it that way. But that's a great, refreshing white wine for the summer.
Lynette in Richfield, turning to you now. Hi.
Hi. I generally drink full-bodied reds. And oftentimes I get very stuffy after maybe the second glass. Sometimes I don't. And I was just wondering, is that the sulfites in the wine or the tannins or how it was aged or the age of the wine?
Yeah, it's an interesting question I get a lot, and so I've done a lot of reading on it. And I don't think there's a definitive answer, especially for each person. I can tell you, if it's happening with red wine and not with white wine, it's probably not sulfites. And the reason is that whites tend to have higher levels of sulfites in general than reds do in general. So if it's only happening with reds, we can kind of rule out sulfites. Another thing to do is eat some dried fruit, like an apricot, which are loaded with sulfites. If it happens with the apricot, then you could maybe say it's sulfites. But what it probably is they think it's histamines, so which would make sense if you're getting kind of stuffy. So some people have said, oh, they take an antihistamine. I don't recommend that because antihistamines can make you really drowsy and add alcohol to that. But so I'm not, for the record, I am not recommending that. But it could be histamines or tannin if it's red, because you don't have tannin in white wine. You only have it in red wine. So, one thing you could try is doing a low tannin red. And so like Pinot Noir is a domestic low tannin red. Something from France is called Beaujolais, and that is also a very low tannin red. Try those, and if you don't have the problem, then maybe it's tannin.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's turn to Ron in Milwaukee next. Hi, Ron.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
As far as storage of wine.
Yeah.
Once it's either in the cupboard or in the refrigerator, should it lay down all the time or can it stand up?
The way you want to store your wine will depend primarily on the closure. So if it has a cork,
screw top,
then you can store it any way you want. And the reason is that it's the cork that would be the problem because they only say store it on its side because a cork naturally expands when wet. And so when you have it on its side, the wine comes into contact with the cork. And what it does is it expands it and creates an airtight seal. That's why you'd want to have it on its side. But if you have a screw cap, then that wouldn't matter anymore.
Okay, so once you've got it refrigerated, is it going to spoil once you take it out? And if you need that refrigerated space,
And you
take it out for a while, if you put it in your cupboard, is it going to be a problem then?
No, not typically. I will say that, because I've done it before, so I can't tell you not to do it. But but I will say that, to keep this in mind, extremes in temperatures, which your refrigerator is considered extreme cold, then going to room temp, those things do tend to affect the quality minorly, but more its ability to age and its condition. So it can affect it long term more so. I mean, if you're thinking of having this wine for more than a year, then and you have more of an investment in it, then I would worry about it. If it's under $20 and you're probably going to consume it within the next couple of weeks anyways, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I really don't think it'll affect the quality too much.
Yeah, and doesn't matter whether it's a high alcohol content or not such a high alcohol content?
No, as long as it's sealed still, I will say that alcohol, when you're talking about high alcohol, maybe like a port has high alcohol.
Well, I'm talking about like 7% versus almost 20%.
Right. Well, I'm assuming you're talking only about whites as well. If you're
only reds. I don't drink whites.
Oh, okay. Then I would say, with the reds, I would keep them out of the refrigerator for the most part. And then if you want to bring them down maybe a half hour before you're going to drink, put them in then. But if it's a red, I would actually keep them out of your refrigerator.
Does it change? Does it change something?
Yeah, definitely. A number of things. For reds, typically are drunk at room temp for a number of reasons. One is there's something in them again called tannin. I wish we had like this tannin where it keeps.
We
coming
have it
up.
In the water in northern Wisconsin lakes.
Oh, I believe it. It gives it texture, right? And mm-hmm. gives it texture is what tannin is. It doesn't taste or smell anyway. It just has texture on it. And so it's like if you have a cup of coffee and you don't have any cream and sugar, you kind of get that drying sensation. It's because coffee has tannin in it, and it's affecting your basically the saliva production.
So
reds, when chilled, if they tend to have tannin. When chilled, tannins are even more aggressive than they really are. They're perceived more aggressively. So usually you want to drink your reds close to room temperature. If they are low in tannin, you can put them in the fridge for a little and chill
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm. I've never appreciated wine at room temperature.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I think that's important to know what you like and just drink what you like. I mean, I think I tell people try everything. So try it, you know, at room temp. If you don't like it, well, don't drink it that way just because someone says that's, you know, what the standard practice is.
It's, yeah, right.
You know, enjoy wine the way you see fit.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. We've got an email from Paul, who's a proud WPR member. That means he contributed to the drive here. He says, my wife is visiting family in Tunisia. What wines should I ask her to bring home?
Wow, that's fun stuff. So Tunisia, I have to admit, I'm not overly familiar with what wines they do have. I know that they definitely have wine production, but I would say tell her to go for the reds. Tunisia is definitely on the warm scale of where wine can be produced in the world, and where it's warmer, the reds are going to do a lot better. So tell her to go for some nice fruity reds. Just north of Tunisia is the Rhone Valley. So you've got Syrah and Grenache. So if she can find maybe a Syrah and Grenache, that area does really well with that grape. But I would love to know what she brings home. So send me an email.
let us know. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? You have you talked just briefly a little earlier about your online tastings. Let's get into that a little bit more. Explain that for us.
Sure. Yeah, it's a totally new concept. No one's doing it. What I've seen in my 5 years of wine education experience is that you had two worlds of wine education. You had very low commitment, one night, fun tastings, but there was no structure for people, which made it difficult to retain knowledge. And then on the other hand, I had this expensive coursework accredited through these international organizations, you know, expensive and a lot of time and commitment. And what I want to do is marry the best of both of those worlds by creating these fun, affordable, accessible wine tastings that are, but also have structure and have recognition too.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm trying to do is bring that all together and using the medium of live streaming. So it's basically television coming through through our website, but it's in real time. So just like you have your callers, you know, texting in or emailing in, people are actually interacting with us in real time as they drink their wine. We're having a shared experience and just trying to create a very affordable, I mean, how much more affordable than free is
yeah.
there?
It's kind of hard to beat that.
Right, yeah. So it's been fun. It's definitely a challenge because we're trying to figure out a way to make it work for everyone, you know? So we love to hear people's feedback, what they like and don't like of it, because it's taking shape as we do it.
Are you doing this? Are there some additional materials that you have online for people to?
Yep, definitely. You can go onto our website, mywineschool.com. And what we're also rolling out, we do these classes that have three levels. We have Wine Newbie, Wine Explorer, and Wine Guru. But we're also doing something that I saw a need for in the market, is a food and wine news show. Nothing exists out there. I mean, we have entertainment news, we have music news, we have all types of different news shows, and yet there's no food and wine. Like, what's going on in the food and wine world? And so we're calling it Foodie Fridays with a Side of Wine, and those are on Friday nights at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
Yeah, you just go to our website, press play, and there we are in your living room. Live. Don't worry. We can't see you, so you can wear your PJs.
Oh, man. Jessica Bell, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jessica Bell, our guest today, who she is a wine expert and really a fun person to talk with, as a matter of fact. She's CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. And, of course, we're talking about wines. And you may have a question about a particular wine or type of wine. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. And Carol in Appleton, we turn to you next.
Hi.
Hi.
You were talking about wine temperatures. And when I was in Germany, that was back in the 70s. But when I knew a winemaker there, and he always contended that the best temperature for serving wine was wine cellar temperature. And that was generally about 55 degrees, because the wine cellar was built underground and pretty much stayed that temperature all year round. Now, he was a white wine maker in the Mosel Valley. But I think that's generally the way it was thought of among winemakers.
Well, it's interesting. You know, like you said, you were talking to a winemaker in Germany. So if you look at German wines, like you said, mainly white wine. So those are going to be better chilled. 55 degrees would be great for a lot of those Rieslings. Really nice. And also, even reds there are going to be, like, they're one of their number one red grapes is Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir has really low tannin. As long as a red is low in tannin, you can serve it at that 55 degrees, and it's not going to have that negative effect on the tannin level. Now, if you were to go down to the south of France and be encountering a whole different type of red wine, 55 degrees might be too cool, because, one, at a lower temp, you smell less. Right?
Yes.
And so as a result, in Germany, Rieslings are extremely aromatic. And so if you bring down the temp, it's almost okay, because it's still going to give. Whereas if you take a wine that's already kind of not as aromatic as, say, a Riesling, and you bring the temp down, you're not going to smell as much. So you're losing some of what you just paid for. And then if it's a red and it has high tannin, that tannin is going to come across really aggressively. So I think it's great to have starting points like you do. Like cellar temp works. And then I think as you try wines, you try them at different temperatures and see what works for you. But usually your reds are going to be a little warmer, especially if they have higher tannin in them. But again, it's total personal preference at the end of the day. So
there you go.
Well, I appreciate that explanation. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Carol.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Connie in Portage, hello to you.
Hi. I was wondering if you could find wine in the United States without sulfites. I can't drink over one glass because I get such headaches. But when I was in Europe at the Moulin Rouge, I had about 5 glasses and felt great.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's a couple of things that, yes, let me back up. Sulfites, there's always going to be a very small amount of sulfites in wines, because it's a part of the fermentation process. So you're always going to have just a little bit. Now, no added sulfites, I think that's maybe what you're looking for. And there are wines in the U.S., you have to look for them, but they are called, they'll have them very clearly put on the label, no added sulfites. The only thing I'll say is that often that the wines might taste a little less fresh, because sulfites preserve wines. So it just might taste a little less fresh, but you can find them in the States. So hopefully you can go out and find them. I hear that a lot. I hear that they go over to Europe and they don't have a problem. I will say that I know by law in the EU, the overall limit to sulfites added is lower. So some wines in the EU will have lower sulfites just because of the limits. Mm-hmm. There's so many different wines, it's hard to make these generalizations.
And thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here with our guest, Jessica Bell, founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. Judith Sears-Poisson joins us as well. And we're talking, of course, during this pledge drive. What's this program worth to you? What's the program plus Joy Cardines, plus Kathleen Dunn's? What are those programs worth to you? This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive, where we ask you to place a value on all of the WPR listening you do throughout the year and then make a financial contribution in return. So I hope you'll make your gift now, any amount, at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. And Judith, how are we doing with that match?
Well, we have a $6,400 match in effect right now. It's a dollar-for-dollar match, and we're coming up on $2,000 of that. So there's still plenty of time for you to take advantage of that. It's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, a group of donors, including Gene and Joe Silverberg and Charles and Carolyn Mowbray, will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support this program. Double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know you're smart, and so we try to aim high, frankly. We do our best to bring you in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every day. And because you appreciate those conversations, you get on the Ideas Network. I hope you'll make a pledge right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour to England with Larry.
Woo!
You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And actually, you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send us a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number and just send it to WPR England Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison. Our zip code is 53706. So you can enter by sending a postcard or the easy way, make a pledge right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Many listeners tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio all day long.
8 hours. From the time I get to work in the morning till the time I go home at night, in the car on the way home for lunch and on the way home after work till 5 o'clock at night, every day, Monday through Friday.
You can count on our being there for you. Can we count on you for a pledge of financial support today? Call now. Here's the number.
And that number, what is that number anyway?
That number is 888-202-2552.
And you can also go online to WPR.org. Listener support is such a big part of why we're here and the things that we do. So we really hope you'll make your donation right now in support of this program. It's a vote for us at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you've been wondering how you can do more for the station that's such a big part of your life, consider making a donation of $1,200. Listener support is crucial to WPR's future. If you would like to do more than you've done before and can afford to make a leadership contribution of $100 a month, please do that now. A gift of any amount is appreciated, of course, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR exists because people contribute, frankly. When we all give, our contributions add up to making this program possible. Your contribution really does make a difference.
And we'd like you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's as simple as that. One pledge at a time, you make this station possible.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now, up to $6,400 in effect. It's offered by a group of donors, people I know, Gene and Joe Silverberg, Charles and Carolyn Mowbray. They're wonderful people, among others. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. You get the idea. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for programs like this one. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You know, I'm going to have to put another pledge into my own.
Yeah. I do. You and I always, we get ourselves so fired up. We march back
there. I'm going to do it to get my pledge double.
Well, there you go. Good idea. And we hope that all of you listening will do that, too. When you listen to WPR, you're not alone. Sure, you might be alone in your car, your home, your office, maybe listening in bed when you wake up. But in truth, you're sharing the experience with us and with other listeners.
We have a lot in common. In other words, we share values that bind us together, and your support is a big part of what makes this program possible for you and for the community you share it with. So please give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
So here's a way to do a few things, great things, at once. Make a $120 donation to Wisconsin Public Radio, that's $10 a month, and select Food for 40 as your thank you gift. Your thank you gift will be in the form of 40 meals for those facing hunger via Wisconsin Food Bank in your area. And if you do it now, it will also be matched dollar for dollar by our generous challenge grant. So you can make a $120 donation, you can provide 40 meals in your community, and it can also be doubled by our generous donors. Please pledge at any amount right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And for $120, you can select Food for 40 as your thank you gift. And of course, you'll also be entered to win those two tickets for the garden tour with Larry in England.
A gift to WPR is a gift through Wisconsin Public Radio to the community. You enjoy the radio station, as do so many others who, frankly, can't afford to support it.
So make your pledge now for yourself and for the community at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Have a great dollar-for-dollar match, up to $6,400 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge for every dollar you give. Of course, that group of donors we mentioned earlier, Gene and Joe Silverberg and Chuck and Carolyn Mulberry, will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support the program. So double the impact of your pledge right now. Give to WPR.org or phone us at 888-202-2552.
36 people have already pledged, and we have 2,300, so there's still plenty of space, $4,100 left in that challenge grant. And, you know, when we ask for your pledge, we're only looking to break even. The support we ask for is the amount we actually need to keep the station healthy. We want you to know that your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is an integral part of keeping things running smoothly.
So our challenge is still in effect.
Yep.
Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR goes that much further. We're down to the last few seconds here before we have to take a break for the news.
So. And don't forget, give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's so appreciated, so needed, and thank you.
Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jessica Bell, who is founder and CEO of My Wine School. It's based in Chicago and Milwaukee. Great to have her with us today. And what's your website again, by the way?
MyWineSchool.com.
MyWineSchool.com. I think we even have a link on our Facebook page at the
Thank
Larry
you.
Mueller Show. Yeah. So you can go to it there and take a look at all the great things that she's doing. And if you have a question right now or a comment, join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. And Randy in Marshfield has a question for you. Hi, Randy. Thank you for calling.
Howdy. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Pretty well. Pretty well. Thank you.
Yeah, I make my own mead, and I also make, I'm nervous, sorry.
That's okay.
I make my own mead as well as wine, and then I make also beer and everything else. So anything that can ferment with yeast, I kind of get to be an expert at. And right now I had two questions for you, other than the fact that it seems everybody wants to bring up tannin, seeing that making wine requires sometimes tannin to be added just for it to turn out right.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your thoughts on mead, which is honey wine?
Yeah.
Because it predates actual regular wine. Because it was like that halfway in between beer and wine as we know it today. Because some of my meads that I make actually require hops to be made.
Right. No, it's an interesting question. I've only had a little bit of experience with mead, but I will say when it was actually a Wisconsin mead, and when I popped it open, I wasn't expecting a lot, and I actually was very pleasantly surprised on the nose. Very aromatic, beautiful nose. I remember lots of fruit and even a bit of a honey note on it. I will say then, you know, on the palate at first, I was again very, very happy with it. I will say I have a especially sensitive palate for bitterness. And what I found with the meads that I tried, I don't know if this is across the board, I'd love to hear what you have to say, Randy, but it had a bit of a bit more bitter finish than I was used to. So for me, I like I said, with my sensitivity to bitterness, mead is not, I prefer wine over mead. But if you have any insight on why that has a bitter finish, I'd love to know.
Oh, yeah, that's actually kind of an easy one, because when you have out there, you know how you go to the grocery store, and the most common honey you see is clover honey. And a lot of the big things when it comes to mead, for making mead wines, is color, color, color. Because the darker the honey, the more flavor it has. Like, I cheat a little bit with my meads. Like, I'm making a caramel apple mead. It's been sitting for a year in its fermenter. I just re-racked it, which is taking the water off the sediment for the first time in a year, and it just got back into another 1 gallon because it's a trial, because I do 1 gallon at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I cheat because I'll put clover honey and I'll use it. And another thing that comes into a big thing with honey wines, if you get into it, is that there's what they call 50-50, which is half honey, half water, 25-75. And some of the Polish meads they make are what they call 100-year wines, which they got to sit there for 100 years before you could drink them.
Interesting. To get rid of that bitterness.
Well, the bitterness I feel that it comes from is in process, because I mix buckwheat honey with my clover honey, and it brings the color down, but it brings better taste. It's a little bit more like a blended, like the Scotch is really good with their scotches and all that. They blend them. But true good scotches are the single barrel, single malt stuff, which is they're not blending it for consistency. It's particular, like Island of Islay, Nottingham, this, that. That's where you get your real flavor uniqueness from, but they blend it for uniformity. Well, I blend my honey a little bit to bring out the sweetness of the honey, which is real hard, because regular wine, when you age it, yeah, you have your acid content and all that, and when you're making the wine, you got to be careful where your pH sits, if it's too low, too high. And if you're doing a darker wine, like your reds, you got to add tannin to it, because that actually helps in the fermentation process to lock in all that different flavors.
Right. Yeah, I think you've hit it. I think there's, you always have to have balance in anything you eat and drink, wine and meat. And so all those components you were referring to, it's important, especially as a winemaker or mead maker.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Randy. I want to get Jackie on from Plymouth who has a question. Jackie, hi to you.
Hello there. Great show. Good timing for me. I'm going to be having an elegant dinner party a dinner party with elegant vegetarian food. And the main course is going to be a portobello goat cheese lasagna with this really flashy green sauce in it. And the sauce is made with someone blanked out what it's using. Kapaba something. Basil leaves. Really heavy. Nice sauce to it. Then it's got potatoes in it and marsala. And then,
Where's my invitation?
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds wonderful.
What would you serve with this?
If you wanna kind of go off the beaten path, I got a perfect wine for you. I will say my husband's a vegetarian, so I'm constantly pairing with more vegetarian type cuisine. But Grüner Veltliner, that's just fun to say. Grüner Veltliner. I think that would. It's Grüner as Grüner, Grüner, and then the second word is Veltliner, Veltliner, Grüner Veltliner. It's a wine from Austria, and I just, as you were naming off all the things you were going to be having in this dish, I was just thinking, oh, this is perfect. It's got the high acid to go with the goat cheese. It's got a little bit of an earthiness to go with that mushroom. But also some of that fruit, and especially when you mentioned the basil, that really made me think of something like a Grüner Veltliner. If that's a little too off the beaten track, you could go maybe with like a Chenin Blanc from France, like a Vouvray. You can get those all different levels of sweetness, so you can match what you think your guest's sweetness levels might be. So sec means dry, S-E-C means dry, and then you can get demi-sec, which would be a little sweeter for a Vouvray. So those would be two paths I might take, but there's a million out there that would work well with that.
So Chardonnay, Vouvray.
So Chardonnay would be different. Chardonnay is one grape, and the Vouvray is by law made by a grape called Chenin Blanc, and that's spelled C-H-E-N-I-N, and then Blanc, like white in French. But Chardonnay would work, too, like a Chardonnay from France, specifically Burgundy. You can get some really specifically maybe this is one that people often have heard of or seen. It's called Puy Fuissé. That's often on lists, wine lists, or in retail stores. So I tell you, just you know, give you a lot of options. So when you go to the grocery store, or the your wine retailer, you can find what you want. But Puy Fuissé is another one. Or
how do you spell that?
Yeah, Puy sounds like you're like
Puy.
You know, like, yeah, Puy. I don't like that. Now Puy is P O U I L L Y, Fumé, F U M E. Oh, I'm sorry, I gave you. Puy Fuissé. See, I'm even. I hope I said Puy Fuissé. Puy Fumé actually would go well too. Mm-hmm. You could do either of those, but Puy Fuissé was the one I was. I meant to say so. Puy, the way I spelled it, and then Fuissé, F-U-I-S-S-E. Either actually now that I think about Puy Fumé would go well too. Mm. But yeah. Puy Fuissé is where I wanted to go with that.
All right.
Well,
so
wow, no, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Take all the credit for it too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. That was a great call. She's going to have a wonderful dinner. I'm sure of it.
Sounds fantastic.
Sean in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
In response to the two calls ago, the gentleman who does the meads.
Yeah.
And I agree on the every now and then there's some meads that do get bitter.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was introduced to a mead out of a winery out of Indiana.
Hmm. What's the name of it?
The Oliver Winery.
The Oliver Winery. I'm all about, because I think often the mistake we make in wine or anything is we try one mead or one Chardonnay and we don't like it or doesn't fit our palate, and then we rule them all out. And I'm always telling people not to do that, so I'm all about trying other meads. If you recommend it, Oliver Tree?
The Oliver Winery.
The Oliver Winery, okay.
They do a really good job on educating new people to the winery, and they've got a huge variety of wines, and they just separate it into the semi-sweet, the semi-dry, and the dry, and they actually do a really fantastic job. I can't recommend them enough.
Okay, great. Are they available in Wisconsin?
You can. Indiana laws have now finally opened up for exporting alcohol, so you can actually get items shipped out from the Oliver Winery.
Great. Well, thanks so much for the recommendation.
Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate your call. We had an email from, an email from CJ first, who says, are there any box wines that you would recommend?
No, I just haven't tried a lot recently, I should have tried more. So CJ, I'm sorry, I can't, I always like to recommend from personal experience. I will say that box wines are going to be the future of a lot of wines. It's smart packaging. And so I do not in any way, look down upon box wine as being cheap wine. I think it's, when you look at glass and if we want to be green in this world, glass, it is a little green because it does well in the oceans, glass does, but in terms of the weight of glass and shipping glass across the world, boxes are actually are going to be the future, I think. Tetra Paks. CJ, I've got a new assignment. I've got to try some mead, and then I've got to go get some box wine, and I'll get back to you on that.
We have an email from Jody who says, I love to try wine, red or white. I do not like dry wine at all. Can you give me a few names of red wines that are slightly sweeter that might be good to try?
Great. Yeah, Jody, well, it's interesting. Let me tell you that right now what the millennials are loving are these semi-sweet reds. And Moscato. Moscato is going through the roof in sales right now. That's what the millennials are drinking. And it's interesting, trying to find these sweeter reds is actually kind of a rarity. But I do, there's one that I know a lot of people enjoy, which is Apothic Red. It's got a little bit of an off-dry note to it. And I'm kind of stumped on, you can always go the route of like some ports, but those are really high alcohol. I'm trying to keep it under a $15 price point, too. I mean, you could go to like an Amarone, usually mm-hmm. has a bit of a sweetness to it, but those are usually
a little more expensive.
Exactly. But we're another place to look for some of these kind of sweeter reds is Hungary. As well as these Eastern European places. So Hungary, also the Republic of Georgia, which I happen to know about. But try those areas. You might start to find some more sweeter reds. And also in our state, we've got, I know Parallel 44 mm-hmm. makes some sweeter reds, as does, I think, Wollersheim.
Wollersheim does too,
yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are. And we I wanted to have you mention part of your business also is putting on wine tastings, is it not?
Yeah, definitely. We usually have more on the calendar. It's just I have a, as I was mentioning to Larry, I've got a project right now where it's going to take me abroad for, twice in the next 2 months. So we've kind of scaled back on those. But look out this summer. We're going to get more of these wine classes that are in person at your, you know, at different restaurants and different places around the state.
Always a pleasure, and you're always welcome back here,
Oh,
Jessica.
Thank you so much. I have so much fun with you guys.
Oh, it is a lot of fun. Jessica Bell, founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee, and I go to mywineschool.com for that website, and we have Judith posted on our Facebook page, too, so you can just go to the Larry Mueller Show and find it there. And speaking of Judith, she just joins us because we're here to raise money. We need to pay for the programs that keep you informed and entertained. That's how WPR works. The people who use it help to pay for it. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Do it right now to ensure the future of the programs you count on. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $6,400 in effect right now, offered by a group of donors, including Gene and Joe Silverberg and Charles and Carolyn Mowbray. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200. You get the idea. Take advantage of this match like our guest Jessica Bell did on the break, which
yeah,
we really
during
appreciate.
Our news break, she went off and made a contribution.
How's that for a testimonial? You could do that and make your gift go even farther in paying for programs like this one that we know you enjoy. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying our conversation with Jessica Bell about wines. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and the many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day, then make your pledge at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Make yourself feel extra good when you donate to WPR this pledge drive. Give $10 a month or more, and as your thank you gift, 40 meals will be provided to those in need through area food banks. 40 people in need in your community. Just choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift when you pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So, since I don't ever watch TV or read the newspaper, I'm always quoting, I heard it on WPR. I travel a lot and miss Wisconsin Public Radio when I'm out of town. I feel like Joy, Larry, Jean, Kathleen, Zorba are my good friends because I'm with them almost every day. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
And that number to call is 888-202-2552 or make your pledge at WPR.org. Do it right now. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $50 or maybe it's $100 or maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
You know, giving really couldn't be any easier. You can do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We really just need your name, contact information, how much you'd like to pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
You could save time and money. Use a credit card if you can, or better yet, sign up for our automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or at 888 888- 202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. We know that you get value from and appreciate this program and also Kathleen Dunn, Chapter a Day, Old Time Radio Drama, many others that you've come to rely on.
I think we give you a window on the world that you probably aren't going to get anywhere else, to be perfectly honest. So I hope you'll support this exciting mix of programs, the programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And how are we doing on this matching
business?
Yeah,
we have this amazing dollar-for-dollar match, incredibly generous, up to $6,400 in effect right now. We have $3,730 in pledges, so there's still plenty of room for you to get in on that.
$2,800 or so.
Yeah, it's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, a group of donors, including Gene and Joe Silverberg and Charles and Carolyn Mowbray, will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support this program. So double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, your federal or state dollars, already support WPR, you're certainly right about that. They do, and certainly we thank you for that.
But for you to get the quality and variety of programs you're used to and expect on WPR, we also need contributions from individual listeners. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie, meaning we couldn't do this without you. So please make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to on WPR. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
After paying your bills, you know, we know it might not be easy to find anything extra. That's why it's up to you to decide how much to give. So any donation makes you a member of WPR. Then you pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. How much you give is not as important as the fact that you do give.
And giving to WPR really is a choice. And because it's something you value, you'll probably find that choosing to donate is enjoyable. Find out right now by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We work on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but think about what you would pay for if you had. Would you pay $5 a month? Let's put it right there. Would you pay $10 a month? What about a dollar a day? You decide the amount.
And then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Like Larry said, there's not a little meter on your radio. We are happy if you're listening many hours a week. We hope that you'll donate to support that programming. Your contribution will be used to support the programs you hear every day on this station. So contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have this dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $6,400, and we're at, what, $4,200?
Yeah. Making progress, but there's still room.
About $2,000 to go. You know, maybe a $2,000 contribution. That would just take it right over. But I tell you what, $50 would be fine, too, because your $50 gift turns into $100. Your $100 gift turns into $200. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go further in paying for programs like this one. So get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're working on that.
We are. And, you know, maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. We appreciate the gift you made then, but chances are you enjoy listening to WPR year after year. So we need your continued support to keep this organization strong.
Maybe it's been a while since you've donated. I was trying to remember. The last time I donated was like 3 months ago.
I think we both marched in there during the last pledge drive.
Man, marched in. I do it every pledge drive. That's how I don't do monthly. I just do it every pledge drive. Maybe it's been a while since you donated. This is a perfect time to rejoin and put a vote in for this program and for our great guests like Jessica Bell, who's did such a wonderful job today.
And we get lots of feedback, not only about
really
Jessica, about lots of guests that people love to hear them.
So go to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you haven't donated, we'll be glad to have you back.
You can also do something great for others and for yourself. If you give $120 or more, you can request Food for 40 as your thank you gift, helping those in need in your region. That means 40 meals for people facing hunger in your community. You'll also be entered in the drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding areas with Larry for your pledge of any amount. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That trip's going to be a lot of fun. And Jessica was telling us that there's some wine there, some sort of almost bubbly whites that are, that are sparkling wines that are
there
really.
You go.
So we'll probably be tasting a little of that come
and
July.
And maybe you'll be bringing me a bottle back since I'll be holding down the fort here.
I might just do that. I might just do that. You might get to come with me. Just do a donation right now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
Deborah from Black Creek says, your high-quality programming has become an important part of my day. Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. And thanks to all of you who are contributing. Join that group, 1-888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Thanks to everybody who's contributed. Go to WPR.org and make your contribution right now.